Good evening. It is 6:35 p.m. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka, and tonight we're having a call-in forum, a live call-in forum, with the three candidates for Sitka Assembly, Stephen Eisenbeiss, Ben Miyasato, and Aaron Swanson. All three of these folks in the studio would be first-timers on the Assembly. They're competing, the three of them, for two open seats. Incumbents Tor Christensen and Michelle Putz have decided not to run for re-election. Mr. Swanson and Mr. Miyasato are on the ballot. Mr. Eisenbeiss is a write-in candidate for the Assembly. We want to tell you a couple things before we jump into questions. First and foremost, this is not a debate. We did, in fact, flip a coin, but that's about as competitive as we're going to get tonight. Who wins is actually up to you, the voter, on Election Day, which, by the way, is October 1st. We have some questions prepared for them. They have not seen these questions in advance. They've probably received these questions before because they've been answering a lot of them in the last several weeks. But the most important voice on this show is your voice. We want to hear from you. We're going to take your calls until 8 p.m. The number to ask a question is 747-5877. We're also very digitally minded tonight. We've got online ways for you to participate. You can email us, news@kcaw.org. You can find us also on Facebook, facebook.com/Raven Radio, or go to our website, kcaw.org, and click on the big Facebook logo there. We have threads built for you to leave a comment and ask a question that way. So, 747-5877, the number if you have a question for any of the Assembly candidates. Let's begin by having them introduce themselves, and we're going to start on my left here with Stephen Eisenbeiss. Stephen and all of you, let's begin by introducing yourself and explaining why you want to be on the Assembly.
Well, good evening, Sitka. Thanks for tuning in and listening. My name is Stephen Eisenbeiss, a write-in candidate for Assembly. Let's see, a little history about myself. Moved to Sitka back in 1992 with my mom and my brother. I've been living here pretty much ever since then. My only time out of Sitka has been for 4 years in order to go join the Marine Corps. After that, moved back to Sitka, worked as a property manager for Davis Realty for quite some time before moving on to the Sitka Police Department, where I worked as a corrections officer. And then finally to my current job, working at Russell's downtown Sitka here. Assembly is something that I've wanted to do for quite some time, just looking for the right opportunity. When I noticed that there was only two people running for two seats, I really felt that Sitka needed a choice in the matter, as opposed to essentially being told who they were going to have. So I decided to make my run this year, and that's why I am a write-in candidate on this, as opposed to being on the ballot. So, if you have any more questions about me or my background, call in.
All right.
Let's hear your voice.
Great. Ben Miyasato, a little about yourself and why you decided to run for Assembly.
My name is Benjamin Miyasato. I'd like to welcome all of these Sitkins to tonight's radio call-in. I moved to Sitka here in 1963 when I was born here. I'm running for Assembly because I was asked to run, and that's the one good part about my candidacy is that I was asked to run by the public and some of the Assembly members, and I thought that that would be a good thing to do because I've got 20 years in the banking industry, 20 years in the military. I'm retired staff sergeant. I've done two deployments overseas, and I've earned the combat infantry badge. I'm currently serving as the vice chairman of Sitka Tribe of Alaska, and I've been doing that since this year, and I've been serving on the council since 2011. The one thing that I will like to say is running for Assembly, it has been a new experience. This is actually something that maybe someday I would have, but being asked, I think that this year the timing was right to run. And the one thing I'll say about if I am elected onto Assembly, the learning curve for serving on there will be very short, as I've already served on the council and on the several committees. So it's something that I'm looking forward to serving Sitka and all of our citizens here in town.
Aaron Swanson, you would be a first-time Assembly member, but this is your second run. What made you decide, a little about yourself, and what made you decide to run for office again?
Okay. I'm from Sitka originally. I was born here in 1981 at Sitka Community Hospital, and I moved to Wisconsin probably about 1992, 93 area, and finished high school, in Washburn, Wisconsin. Went on to attend the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, and after that I've worked several construction jobs in Wisconsin, Montana, Washington, and Alaska. And then I moved back to Wisconsin and took over renting or managing my parents' rental properties, and they moved back up to Sitka. And it was probably 6 months after they moved up here that my brother-in-law called me up with a job working for Misty Fjords Water Company. And I worked for them for about a year, year and a half. The company ended up selling to another party, so I ended up working for Arrowhead Transfer. I've been there for the past 6 years. I ran for assembly last year, was unsuccessful. After that, in October 2012, I joined the Police and Fire Commission and was recently selected as the chairperson for the Police and Fire Commission. The reason why I'm running for assembly is I would like to see Sitka have more youthful leadership in the assembly role, more opinions from the younger generation, I think, would probably benefit the assembly. I'd really like to see the assembly change some of their views and help to, you know, help the younger families here in Sitka.
All right, and we'll be talking a lot more about exactly how you all would like those things to happen as you look at a possible term, a possible 3-year term on the Sitka Assembly. 747-5877 is our phone number if you have a question for any of the three Assembly candidates or all of the three Assembly candidates. Again, 747-5877, or email it news@kcaw.org, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Raven Radio, which you can also link to through our website, kcaw.org. We're going to rotate who starts answering the questions. And actually, since those were just the introductions, let's start again here with Stephen, and then we'll begin our rotation in earnest. Stephen and everybody, beginning with Stephen, what lessons have you learned in your life that would make you a good assembly member? What do you bring to the table?
One of the largest lessons that I've learned in life is leadership. While in the Marine Corps, I was in charge of 12 other Marines, including during deployments overseas. Their lives were on my hands. That's a lot to ask of anyone, let alone a 21-year-old kid. It definitely made me grow up fast. I've been preparing for this for quite some time, looking into different aspects of the community, working with different business groups here. The Chamber, for instance, everybody has rubbed off on me a little bit and put a lot of things in my pocket that I'll be able to draw from. And some of them are good, some of them were not so good, but definitely have a lot of different experiences that I'll be able to bring.
Ben Maiasato, life lessons or things you bring to the table from outside?
As mentioned by Steve, I also have served in the military. I've served in the Alaska Army National Guard, retired as a staff sergeant. I've done multiple deployments as he has. We both come from the background of being non-commissioned officers. I retired out as a staff sergeant, so I was also in charge of troops overseas, and that does make you make some decisions that you really have to think long and hard about because of the implications that you have while serving overseas. But I've also been in a supervisory position in the banking industry since back in the early 90s. So there was some history there of being in charge of people. And also a good experience has been on tribal council at STA. That there, if more than anything, has made me learn a lot in the last 2 years. I've learned the decision-making process that goes into when you're in a meeting, and also being in the vice chairman position, I've actually presided over meetings also, which gives you a different perspective from the point of view of how you conduct meetings. As to how that pertains to bringing it to assembly, I do believe, having served in a different capacities of either the civilian world or the military life, and also on tribal council, that all will help benefit all of the Sitkans. serving on the assembly.
All right. Aaron Swanson, we're talking about things you've learned outside or life lessons or things you bring to the table as an assembly member.
Okay. Unlike Stephen and Ben Maiacedo, I have not served in the military. Fortunately, I was born with a hearing impairment, so getting into the military was not an option. As far as life lessons, being in the construction field, I think that I could probably help the assembly make decisions on, like, say, affordable housing, on what, you know, could benefit on bringing those into town. Also, I think running a small business in Sitka in the previous years when I was working for Misty Fjords Water Company would help bring the, you know, the decision-making skills as, you know, the decision-making skills on, you know, like what needs to be funded and what does not. That's basically what I got for that one right now, Ed.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much. Let's make our first issue question here about the role of government. At the assembly meeting this week, and Ben, we're going to begin with you on this one. At the assembly meeting this week, the assembly was debating the topic of whether the city should spend money to help regrade the parking lot at Hames Center, which is on the Fine Arts Campus. They're playing host to this huge tourism convention next month. And Jay Sweeney, the interim municipal administrator, was asked for his opinion. And he said the request is part of a much larger issue. Let's listen to an excerpt of what he said.
This much larger issue is this. Is Sitka going to be a town in which a large, compassionate local government plays a large role in solving social issues? Or is Sitka going to be a town in which a small government attends to the provision of only essential public services not available to the public by other means?
Okay, so that's Jay Sweeney at the assembly meeting on Tuesday. And I know that you guys got this question at the chamber forum yesterday, but let me ask it again, beginning with you, Ben. What's your philosophy? Large, compassionate local government or a small government that deals with the essentials only?
I like the idea of a smaller government. And part of that reasoning behind it is that once you expand on government, it's really hard to if the public or whoever you're representing is used to having that larger amount being funded, and you get the idea that's going to be in place till whoever knows how long that's going to be. If you have it smaller, you can expand, but you can do it incrementally. And in regards to what Jay Sweeney said, the one thing that I like about the fact that they put some money into it, and this is something that I'm looking at in perspective of, it was amount that was looked like it was funded. It was $7,500 from the city. But the amount that it's bringing in into Sitka from these coming for the ATIA convention is going to be roughly around $500,000. For the amount that the city put into it, that in itself already pays for it by the amount that ATIA is going to bring into Sitka in new dollars.
So there's a little bit of both in there is what I hear you saying.
A little bit, just a little bit. And part of that is that that $7,500, what's your return on it? You know, for that $500,000 coming in, brand new money, you know, that's $7,500 is a small chunk. And this, I think, is only a one-time deal, only if I read the interview right.
All right. Aaron Swanson, on the spectrum of big government and small government, where do you stand?
Well, Ed, I'm kind of in the middle of the road on that one. I do prefer the smaller government as opposed to the larger government, but there has to be, you know, there has to be a balance, what needs to be funded and what does not. You know, it has to be something that would benefit the citizens and the city at the same time. That would be the only indicator that I would prefer a larger government, but overall I prefer a smaller government.
All right. And Stephen Eisenbeiss, the debate over big government or small government, where are you?
I believe that question actually comes back to the citizens and what they want. A large government is in many ways easier on the citizens. It's a lot less responsibility on their shoulders. If we were to go to a smaller government, there's a large chance that we would need a lot more help from the citizens themselves in running the town, doing volunteer work. If that's something that the citizens are willing to step up for, I'm all for that as well. But if they want to continue maintaining the level we have, it's going to require a larger government. Another way to look at it, too, is, you know, can we, if the city wants to have a smaller government, if the citizens here do, do we stay in the power business? Do we stay in the refuse business? Do we stay in the hospital business? These are all entities that in other towns are managed by outside sources. We as a city here run those ourselves. It is possible to sell those if the people wanted to get the government smaller. But we definitely have to trust those groups that they're going to maintain the current level of service that we have. And like I said, it's really going to come back on the citizens if they're willing to step up and put in their part in order to reduce the size of government.
You're listening to a live call-in forum with the three candidates for assembly on Raven Radio, KCAW. Sitka, two of the three people sitting in front of me tonight are going to represent you on the Sitka Assembly. They're going to be making decisions about community infrastructure, about taxes, about all manner of things that affect day-to-day life here in Sitka. And so we want to hear from you. We want your voice as part of this conversation. If you have a question to ask any of these candidates, you can do that by calling us 747-5877, or you can email us at news@kcaw.org. It's on the screen right next to me here. You can also get on Facebook and leave your comment there, facebook.com/Raven Radio. We're going to talk a little bit about the economy in Sitka. And Aaron, this question is going to begin with you. I know this has been an issue that's important to you from the interviews that we've conducted, and all three of you have mentioned this. What's your sense of the economy in Sitka, and what changes could the Assembly make that would help?
At the present time, I think the economy in Sitka is doing okay. My biggest fear is what's going to happen when the Blue Lake Dam expansion project is completed. All those workers that are up there are going to be packing their bags and leaving town, so they're not going to be buying any more supplies in town, any food or anything like that. So it's going to bring the tax dollars down. My thought is that instead of fluctuating the tax between 5% and 6% in the fall and the spring, is to just leave it at 6% year-round. I know it's hard on a lot of people. It's hard on me. I don't want to pay an extra $1 per $100, but I think that it would, you know, benefit the city. Also, they sold water rights, I think, from the excess coming out of the dam now for the tune of $1 million. And I've heard a comment or two from the Assembly members that are on there now that how do we spend this? I think that'd probably be wise if the Assembly took that money and invested it, like, say, in the stock market or high interest, you know, like a CD or something that would generate more revenue for it and grow it a little bit bigger and add that to the general fund.
I have to ask a quick follow-up. The idea of keeping the sales tax at 6% year-round, it's been floating out there for a while now. Have you received much feedback? You mentioned when we first talked about it that you thought it might be an unpopular idea, and I'm wondering if people have given you feedback on it.
I haven't gotten any feedback except for one person.
All right, fair enough. Stephen Eisenbeis, what's your sense of the economy in Sitka, and what changes could the Assembly make that would help?
The economy in Sitka is struggling just as it is most everywhere right now. However, comparing ourselves to cities like Chicago, who have gone completely bankrupt, I think we're definitely doing good. You can always find a good side or a bad side to everything, just depending on how you want to look into it. One thing I think the city and the Assembly needs to do is we need to look at preserving the current economies that we do have. We need to make sure we can maintain our fishing fleet. We need to make sure that search is happy here. All those large industries that bring in quite a lot of money, they're already here. Let's invest a little bit of time and effort in keeping them here and making sure that they have what they need. At that point, once we have sustainability with them, then we can look for other ways to help ourselves grow.
So business retention over business development in the short term, is that accurate?
If we already have it here, we might as well try and keep it. It's going to cost a lot more money to bring in outside businesses, and it's going to be a lot more work, businesses and industry, than the ones we already have. Most of them have substantial infrastructure that they already have here. Let's help these guys be productive. Let's make sure that they can have employees who are going to buy houses here, who are going to go down to grocery stores and shop. Another interesting idea that the assembly did not have time to get to at their last meeting was a local purchase ordinance. I think that would help quite a few businesses here in town if the city was to look local first for many of their purchases. Have to agree that not every time would they be able to find it or would they get the best rate. But, you know, let's all do our part in order to grow Sitka's economy, and let's see the city lead by example.
All right. Ben Mayasato, what's your sense of the economy here in Sitka, and what changes could the assembly make that you think would help?
According to last week's Southeast Conference that was here in Sitka, that Sitka was the host this year, that article said that here in Southeast Alaska, it is improving. But I'm sort of kind of in agreement with Steve on this one here, that there is a little bit of struggle. And part of that, you see, is that Sitka does depend on tourist dollars. And when, according to the article in the newspaper, when they have cancellation, it does have an effect. One thing I'm looking at for changes to make, and this is something that was asked by someone in the audience from the chamber luncheon yesterday about building a road across Baranoff. And that's something I think we should take a look at partially because, first of all, you're going to have the – if we do build a road across Baranoff and we put a ferry terminal on the Marine Highway System corridor, we will get more traffic on the ferry system. And that's the one thing I've heard because I do attend the assembly meetings is that several of the assembly members were commenting about the reduced ferry schedule that Sitka has. And when you have a reduced schedule, you have reduced passengers here into Sitka. And then the thing about having that also is that when you're building a ferry terminal across the island, you free up the one that is already here existing. And with that, I think that's something you can be creative with. And you're looking at having a deep water docking that's already in place. Just do a little bit of cosmetic change on that and look about seeing if we do build a ferry dock across the island, is to see if maybe the state would like lease it to Sitka and see about getting one of the passenger ships to commit to having overnight here in Sitka instead of in Juneau or Skagway. And the part about that is that once you have a deep water dock they can dock at, you're going to get more passengers off the ship and they'll be spending more dollars here in town. And that's something that I think we should look at. The other part about that on the changes to make is maybe we ought to look at partnering up with Sea Alaska. I know for fact from the Tongass Futures Roundtable I went to back in May that Sea Alaska has in within their corporation, they have where they are trying to partner up with either other native corporations or other businesses to create new jobs. And that has great potential because I've heard some of the things that they are doing. And it's something that we should look at and also look at partnering up with the Sitka Tribe of Alaska and also Shiataka here locally.
All right. 747-5877. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it. 747-5877, the number to call if you have a question you want to ask, or you can email us news@kcaw.org. We have an emailed question from Rich, and it's actually addressed to Aaron, but I'm going to put it to all three of you, but we'll start with Aaron. Aaron Swanson said he wanted younger participation on the assembly and wanted to change direction. And that he didn't like some of the things the present assembly has done. This, Rich wonders, can you be specific, Aaron, about what you don't like? And for the other candidates, we'll ask you kind of what actions of the current – we'll ask you basically the same thing. I'll put the question to you in a second. But Aaron, Rich wants you to be a little more specific. When you say you want to change direction, what in particular is on your mind?
That's a good question, Rich. Basically, what the direction that I don't like that the assembly is going is, you know, they keep raising the rates, and that's, you know, really hard for younger families like myself. You know, someone who lives paycheck to paycheck, and you get a, you open your bill and you got a $300 bill, and then say in July of 2014, the rates are going to be going up yet again. And when I'm opening my bill, it's probably going to be looking like around $350. That's kind of the direction that I'm going with, that the city kind of needs to change, is they don't need to keep raising all the rates. Can we come back to me on this
one? Yeah. What I hear you kind of saying is that younger voices are going to bring a perspective of people who might be struggling a little more, as their incomes tend to be lower and they're kind of getting started.
Right. Yeah. If you know, somebody was making, you know, $40 to $50 an hour, then yeah, see the rates going up. But I think, you know, the city should kind of curb like the bills, because in the winter they're going to be a lot higher than they are in the summer. That's something that, you know, the city could also look into, is putting like a budget plan, you know, where you take all your bills and you kind of figure out how much you're going to be spending per year, and kind of just have like a balanced bill every month. And then, you know, say one catch-up month in the middle of the summer when your heating is going to be down.
Yeah. Thanks, Aaron. Stephen Eisenbeis, Rich wants to know, of the other candidates, what actions of the current assembly do you particularly disagree with or agree with? And please be specific.
There's many actions of the assembly that everyone will sit at home and say, well, I would have done it this way, I would have done it that way. Right now, unfortunately, I feel that one of those is raising the electrical rates. However, at this point, we are too far into the Blue Lake Dam project to not finish this. Raising the rates, as bad as it might have been for many people in town, is at this point an absolute necessity. We can't spend as much money as we already have and simply give up on it. We have to continue at this point.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. Ben, what has the assembly done that you disagree with, that you agree with, and be specific?
That's a very good question, because without attending the entire assembly meeting ever, it's hard to find out what they have done or not done to agree or disagree. And part of that is that you're getting a filter, you're getting it from the newspaper or radio, and you're hearing it from people. But the one thing I am hearing, and this is sort of kind of a common theme, is that they want the benchlands opened up. That's that there is something that's it's a common theme, is the benchlands open up for housing. And you're talking about spending. I hear the same thing about spending. Please keep that in mind. Don't spend what you don't have, and to start putting some aside. And I'm saying this because we're hearing that through STA about how things are going to be more bleak next year due to sequestration. And that opens up a lot of issues on the funding, because how it affects everyone throughout the United States. I mean, if you're not planning on reining in your spending, it's a little hard to do after the fact when it's already spent and you don't have anything available for whatever is needed if something comes up. And when you're talking with Aaron and talking about having a little bit more youthful perspective, I mean, I'm hearing this myself, because one thing, we do have areas out there in Sitka that do get more attention, especially when in regards to what money the assembly gives. And that's something, you're looking at youth programs, you're looking at something like maybe more affordable housing or what can be done to help them with that. And also the idea of something that has not existed for numerous years is a teen center. I mean, that would be nice if we look into the idea of having something for the youth that they can call theirs and give them a safe place to hang out and be amongst their peers.
I want to press you for specifics on one thing. You mentioned the benchlands. The assembly just sold 4 lots to a local developer. Do you agree or disagree with the way they did that?
That's a good question because I don't have the specifics on that, but I do believe that that is a start. That's something that we was bringing up yesterday at the chamber luncheon. The one idea that has been floated out to me by someone is that when you open up the benchlands, well, maybe you ought to designate part of it for building smaller houses on smaller lots, with also throwing in the idea of either reduced or free water and electricity hookup on there. But that's something to be looked at. Part of that, when I'm thinking, when I'm hearing this, is that, well, if you're giving away a service, it's not really actually giving it away, because when you're looking at it, if they build a lot and they build a house, you're looking at, you're going to be receiving property tax on that. And you're taking something that's not even being developed at this time. But as to whether or not the four lots, I think it's a start.
Quickly, we'll just go around. Aaron Swanson, thoughts on the benchlands? Thanks, Ben.
I'm actually happy that they're getting rid of some of the property, because really the city is probably going to end up losing money on the benchlands property itself, because they're going to have to pay to develop it or pay somebody to develop the property. So the developer that bought it got the lots fairly cheap, and hopefully that they can put them in at a fairly low cost so that they could sell the lots for cheap. And that's how you might be able to get affordable housing here in Sitka, is to basically, you know, sell the lots as cheap as you can. Because if you're buying a lot for, say, $150,000 to $255,000, I've seen one listed for, that, in my view, is not affordable housing. So It really depends on the person's view of affordable housing, but I really think that the city should probably just cut their losses and find a developer that will take the bench lands, develop the lots, and agree to sell them for cheap.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Steven Eisenbeiss, benchlands thoughts?
Selling the several parcels that were sold to a developer was a very large step in the very right direction. The city is not a land developer. When we need to get it in the hands of someone who can utilize it. For many years in Sitka now, there's been an issue of land crunch. We don't have very much land here in town that is available, but yet we're sitting on a large section of really good real estate there. Let's get that in the hands of someone who can actually do something about it and develop those lots. It's going to be the right choice for Sitka. Right now we have a large amount of rock that we can't seem to figure out what to do with. Well, if we could get these lots in the hands of developers, I'm sure they would need a substantial amount of rock in order to help develop this. So to me, we're solving two problems there. So,
all right. 747-5877, the number to call if you have a question. And we do have a caller on the line. Alexander, you are on the air. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. I just want to applaud all the potential assembly members there for their willingness to get up on a public forum and discuss these issues. My question is from the perspective of someone who has served on the Ports and Harbors Commission for 3 years, and I'm no longer at that post, but my main interest during that time was trying to participate in ensuring that a haul-out facility at Sawmill Cove to kind of facilitate the marine services industry would happen. And it's something that's been worked on by people on Ports and Harbors and the Assembly for years, going back to as far as the 90s or 80s even, to kind of try to support shipwrights, welders, any kind of marine service type industry, to have a haul out to support our fleet. And that effort has been stymied by the interest in making sure that only a private haul-out facility would be installed out there, one conducted by a private contractor of some sort, whereas in communities like Wrangell, for instance, there's a city haul-out facility up to an uplands area where private marine services contractors can perform their services with covered areas and electric and everything they need to do their work. But the actual hauling and getting boats up, and the uplands themselves are owned by the city.
So you're wondering if there's a public option here, or what's your specific?
Yeah, I would like to know if it were to come to a situation where they had to make a decision as to whether or not that service could be provided, the haul out up to the upland, could that be provided by the city, or are these potential assembly members going to be adamantly opposed and want to see a private industry, a private contractor only, sort of like how the point, the haul out, for instance, be the provider of that service.
All right. Thank you, Alexander, for your question. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Steven Eisenbeiss, let's begin with you. Does the city have a role in developing marine services and haul outs here?
A large haul out is something that the city does need. We have a large fishing fleet that could be serviced here, and instead they're running to other ports in order to do this. So it'd definitely be a great asset to the city. Now, does the city have a role in facilitating that? Possibly. But we as citizens have to decide if we want to get into another business. We own quite a few businesses, and I'm just going to use the hospital as an example, that in other places private corporations do run. So if we as a town decide that this is something that we would like to spend money on, then great. But we do have to realize that down the road it is going to cost us money. Now, something we need to look into is if there, you know, it only costs us, and I'm just going to use $5,000 as an example, but brings in $10,000, well, that's definitely a winning situation. However, if it's going to cost a lot more money than it's going to bring in, then it's something that needs to be evaluated much more closely.
So do you have strong feelings about what the city should do? Or I mean, I heard you talk a lot about, you know, let's see what – it all depends on what business we want to be in and that kind of thing. But do you have strong feelings about whether we should be in that particular business?
I strongly support having a haul out.
All right.
I do not support the city getting into more businesses that could potentially lose us money. So we need to see how much money this is going to bring in first, because we cannot afford another drain on city money.
All right, Stephen, thank you. Ben, the marine services industry, should the city have a role in developing a haul out, for example?
That's a very interesting question, because as Alexander had mentioned, he was on the Ports and Harbors Commission. How far along did they get in regards to this issue? This is something that I wished he had was able to expound more on where it actually went in their discussion. Now, in regards to what Stephen says about cost, I like the idea of the haul out. The one thing that does give me concern, though, is that when you're putting the placement of a haul out, you also want to look at the availability of for the fishing fleet. Is this something that they would be willing to utilize? And if you're looking at that, should it be located at a different spot that's more closer to where their actual fleet is located? My one thing I'm looking at there, when I first heard the question, you know, not being, I'm still a brand new boat owner, but the haul out facility, how much space are they going to need? What services are going to be needed out there? And I know that we used to have a marine shop over across the island that is no longer there and present. You know, the one thing, I've seen it for myself, a haul out over in Wrangell. The one thing they do have is they do have businesses, shops located next to them, so that their whatever equipment that they need for that haul out is available. And if you're building a haul out, you got to look at, well, how do you also have the ability for those that pull their boat out to get what they need? Are they going to have to drive back to town? Is someone going to set up a shop? And also, when you're looking at this haul out, this is something as a boat owner, when you're looking at, you have a boat launch out Halibut Point, is it possible if you're building a haul out to have something such as a boat launch out at Sawmill Creek? Because I know that they do not have one. That might in today's high gas prices might be something that maybe the public would be interested in having this also, is to have a boat mm-hmm. launch facility.
So just to kind of synthesize down to the public question, if it came before you as an assembly member, should the city get into the marine services business or not and have a publicly owned haul out, what would you vote on? How would you vote?
That, without being on the Ports and Harbor Commission, I'm for the idea, but I'm also it does raise questions about the location.
Yeah. So you would want more info.
I would definitely want more info, because if you're going to build something that's 5 miles out of town and you've got to bring your boats all the way over, like I said mentioned earlier, the fuel prices, that what are they going to think about having to motor all the way out there for their boat haul out?
Gotcha. All right. Thanks, Ben. Aaron Swanson, should the city be in the business of building and running a haul out?
Well, Alexander, this is something that I would probably vote yes on. The reason is because the potential there for many new businesses to, you know, supply parts for these bigger boats that are otherwise going to Seattle to get maintenance. So they're burning quite a bit of fuel going down to Seattle just to get, you know, the maintenance that they need to come right back up here and start fishing in the spring during the herring fleet. I think Sawmill Cove Industrial Park would probably be the most beneficial place to have it in Sitka, because you got all that land out there that you could stage the boats while they're getting maintained, painted, worked on, whatever. So I would be in favor of the city putting one in.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. The next question comes from Facebook. It's from Blake on Facebook. He says, and Ben, we'll begin with you on this one. He says, what's a new and fresh idea that you would bring to the assembly that you believe is important to the city of Sitka? Blake on Facebook. And if you want to ask a question on Facebook, it's facebook.com/Raven Radio. Okay, so Ben, new and fresh ideas. Blake wants to know.
A new and fresh idea? Well, that's a very interesting question, because part of that is that when you come up with a new and fresh idea, is it something that's already been presented before the assembly or other assemblies? And I'm speaking from other communities also, and you're looking at the idea of having a new and fresh idea. I'm not saying this is new or fresh, but I'm real comfortable with the idea of building a road across Baranoff and actually having that available to the public. And this is something that, even though I've already discussed this with our transportation committee, it's something I forgot to bring up yesterday, and I'm glad that Steve did, because this is something that it has been mentioned, is that if you build a road across Baranoff, you're able to have people use it, the public access. They'll be able to hunt, fish, hike, bike, and just the idea of having a dock facility over there. And I'm looking at it in terms of also, if you can build, and this is something I've discussed with someone else also, maybe like a 10 or 20 slip for boats landing, so that they don't actually have to take the ferry system. If you have a dock over across the island, you'll be able to have other communities that will be able to take their own personal watercraft a shorter distance and be able to get on the road system over here to Sitka to use such things as the hospital, shopping. It just opens it up more for more public access. And plus, at the same time, if it does come to fruition, you, like I said, mentioned earlier, you still have that ferry system dock out at Halibut Point Road, that if it's not utilized, it's something that maybe the city can look at, like I said, talking with the cruise ship industry, and see if this is something that maybe they would be open to the idea of having their ship overnight here in Sitka.
All right. Thanks, Ben.